This is Believing Buckeyes with Brian Brownie and Chindi Chekwa. We beat Penn State. They came to our house. We took them out. We beat Penn State. We're going to talk about that. We're on the road at Wisconsin next week. But first, Chim, go ahead and hit it with the ad.
The last of the major pro sports leagues kicks off this week. And BetOnline is your top spot for all your NBA action this season. With MLB postseason, NFL, college football, and NHL in full swing, BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions. Get everything NBA at your fingertips with both desktop and mobile access for every sport, anytime. Head to the BetOnline today to get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Yep, and if you're having any issues with gambling, always feel free to reach out to 1-800-GAMBLER. They're there 24/7 to help you out if you're having any issues. But hey, like I said, we got to discuss Penn State. James Franklin brought his boys into town. Top 10 matchup, I think we're 3. There was 7 in the AP poll. And we took care of business. I mean, the score was 20-12, but if you watch the game, it really wasn't that close. Man, it was fantastic, man, to see us go out and play like that, right?
Yeah, so I've been saying the Silver Bullets are back. But I've been a little hesitant. You know, I said that at one point last year, and they definitely were not back last year. But this defense is impressive. I don't care what Penn State offense put out. I don't care who they put out there. I'm giving all the credit to this defense. I mean, at one point where Penn State was 0-15 on third down.
0-15.
You're not losing.
You're
over 15.
You're That's not good.
Just impressive all around. You had a top 10 defensive player, in my opinion, Denzel Burke, in college football, who was out of the game. The defensive backs didn't miss a beat. You had an offensive left tackle for Penn State, a guy who's going to be in the NFL, high-level player, who was getting beat by JTT. Right, that matchup was a big matchup going in, and JTT showed that, you know, he can go up against the best. Across the board, they just played high level defensive football, and it was a masterclass. And I'm just proud to be a former Ohio State player to go and out there and watch. And a lot of people say it was an ugly game. It was an ugly game. The way they play defense, that was beautiful football.
That was beautiful. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I heard that too. Like, ugly, I was like, I didn't see it like that. I thought it was masterful. I mean, it was third downs here. Like, at certain points, third downs, I mean, Penn State's quarterback, Drew Ayler, who's from Northeast Ohio, so he had a lot of family in the stands, I mean, who really wanted to go out. And he grew up, I watched the story beforehand on him. He grew up a Ohio State fan, as you could imagine. Really wanted to play well. And the third down was just like, man, he doesn't have a chance to complete these passes. I mean, these guys are blanketed. I'm thinking, maybe if you had like an NFL pro quarterback in there, Aaron Rodgers was Penn State quarterback, something crazy like that, you could maybe see some completions there. But, those guys was blanketed. I mean, the way we went about our rush was just, you know, keeping him contained. We just played good football, man. The Silver Bullets just played really great, sound football. Just for four quarters, I mean, just relentless. I mean, linebackers, some of the plays that Cody Simon stepped in and made in that game. It was a masterclass on how you play top tier defense in the nation. And you know, if they continue to play like that, you're gonna be in every game because the team can't score. And secondly, that is a national championship style defense that we saw Saturday in the Horseshoe.
Yeah, it was, man. And I think it's just defense that makes me believe this team is probably the number one team in the country. And kudos to Penn State's defense as well. I mean, I thought they were a very, very impressive defense, probably number one or number two defense going into the game. And they showed why. So they had a good defense. But I want to speak directly to the Penn State fans, because I think you know, I don't know, what is it, 6 or 7 in a row that they've lost?
7 in a row now,
In the James Franklin and Ryan Day era of college football, Penn State will not be on the same level as Ohio State. They won't get there. They won't ever take they won't take the next step. They have a chance. You saw the game. It was a close game. I mean, realistically, anything could have happened. If that sack fumble would have turned into a touchdown, it would have been a different game. But overall, they just will not be on the same level as Ohio State. It's just not going to happen. I think in terms of stylistically, similar type of teams, Ohio State just has better players. Case in point, example, you know, Penn State couldn't create any explosive plays on offense. Right? If they could have, it would have been a different game. Ohio State has Marvin Harrison Jr., who came out of Pennsylvania. Right? Like, this is the difference, man. Like, there's just better players. It's, I think stylistically similar, but Ohio State just has better players. And I say this, I say I'm talking this directly to Penn State fans because this is who you are. Okay? you're not going to take the next step. It's okay. You know, don't make the mistake of Nebraska and think there's something, that the grass is greener, and go fire your coach and try to take the next step with somebody else. You're going to, right? At some point, you're just going to have to accept this is who you are. Right? You're going to play Ohio State close every year. You're probably going to lose every year. And you know, hopefully, you know, Michigan's in a little situation right now. Hopefully, you can get the edge on them. But this is what it's going to be. And again, yeah, I thought it was a great game defensively, and the better team ended up coming out with the win.
Yeah, I mean, so like you said, across the board, the defense, as we thought, you know, the defense was, both defenses was going to play really well. Both of them was going to step up. But like the huge difference in this game was Marvin Harrison Jr. going out there getting 11 catches for 162 yards, which is, I mean, it sounds funny, but 11 catches, that's his record. That's the most catches he ever had in a college game, and a touchdown on that as well. And essentially, that's the difference. Like, we got Marvin Harrison Jr. on our team playing wide receiver. You do not. So once McCord gets in any type of situation, trouble, he needs to get in rhythm. He just looks up, throw it to Marvin Harrison Jr. The guy, he's usually open. If we're in a bind, we're in third and unmanageable, we'll just throw it to Marvin Harrison Jr. on the crossing route, and he'll outrun the defense, and he'll get the first down. You know, if it's a play, it's a spot that with the game is a little bit muddy, things could get tight. What do? We step back, we throw it to Marvin Harrison Jr. He makes a huge play. Everything could kind of start going rolling in the right direction there. So, like I said, I mean, Penn State, to be frank, I would like to see a little bit more. I thought I was going to see a little bit more blitz packages. I know they was able to get home early with one. They got a DB against our running back, and they were able to get home on the sack. I thought I was going to see more, though. I thought I was going to see some more creative type of blitz packages from them. Manny Diaz, you know, before we last show, we talked about him saying he had this strong opinion on Ohio State's offense. And essentially, like I said, I think maybe that opinion was to contain them. Like, look, we're not going to, you know, try to keep these guys in front of us. And that did keep them in the game. But kudos to our defense. I mean, they were just on a whole nother level so far that it was just like, yeah, you know, we're going to win this game and do so in a fashion that let the whole nation know. Once again, that the silver bullet defense is back. We are to be respected and account for us accordingly, more or less from there. So,
so to your point, this is the thing. This is Manny Diaz's struggle: is that you create some blitzes. Maybe you surprise them with one or two cornerback blitzes here and there, but you can't do a heavy dose of it. And then it's pick your poison, because if I'm going to send an extra guy, who am I going to have to cover Marvin Harrison Jr.? Because I don't want to give the game away, right? So it's kind of like if I bring somebody extra, that has one less guy to commit to containing the most explosive player on the field. And if they see where this blitz is coming from, and they identify, okay, we may get a one-on-one matchup versus Marvin Harrison, or we blitz and we contain Marvin Harrison. Now we're just leaving everybody else kind of free and one-on-one matchups as well. So it's kind of pick your poison, and I wouldn't want to be a defensive coordinator to have to try to make the decision and try to figure out, okay, how am I going to stop this team? And when you watch the Notre Dame game and you watch the final drive, even though McCord threw a pass to Mecca Buka and other guys to set up that opportunity to win, you watch how many guys are committed to playing Marvin Harris and how that opens up the rest of the field. It's time to really have a real discussion about Marvin Harrison Jr. for the Heisman, right? Yeah. And there's no CJ Stroud to cancel out his opportunity. You know, when you have too many good players on offense, it's like, well, this guy's only good because of this guy. Or that guy's only good because of – that doesn't exist in this year. And there's a lot of credit should go to the guy who is so explosive that every single defense has to account for this guy, and they still can't actually stop him. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, but it's to the award. I mean, the Heisman Trophy, you know, is supposed to go to the best player in college football. That's like, you know, when you read up, you know, why is the Heisman that we're supposed to go to. Now, we know historically, over the last handful of years, been going mostly to quarterbacks, and then every once in a while, kind of hit a running back here from there to there. I can't remember the last time a wide receiver won the Heisman. We know there's been some, right? You know, Michigan had a couple wide receivers win some Heisman and things of that nature. But if, like you say, if Ohio State this season plays out, we win all our games, we go undefeated, you know, we're number one, number 210 going into the playoffs, why not Marvin Harrison Jr., right? I mean, this guy does everything. If you watch the game, he's the guy that we want to get the ball to. When we're playing, when we come out, we want to get the ball to him early because we know he's going to just ease the team. He's going to make a big play. He's going to make the right play to get some points on the board. If we're playing a tough opponent, we're playing a top team in the nation. Either we could use him as a decoy or if we could try to just throw the ball up to him, he'll make it happen. And against Penn State, like, you know, they try both. And he still comes out with 11 catches, 160 yards. And you just essentially at the end of it, just say like, well, we couldn't get the job against this guy. And he's really just that good. So, you know, kind of looking at the Heisman race, Caleb Williams was probably the favorite going into the season. He won the Heisman last year. They have two losses now.
Yep.
He's been playing pretty decent in those losses, but we know how the Heisman goes. You start losing games, you start falling back in the rankings, you kind of lose your spot there. I believe right now the current favorite, if you was going to make a bet on it, I believe it's Michael Penix out of Washington. And he's just have a tough road. You know, the Pac-12 is stacked this year with a lot of great quarterbacks. So you still have a couple of big hurdles to get over. So if they lose one or two games and it comes down to Ohio State being undefeated, I mean, we could easily – I mean, the argument is – it's not even making an argument. Like, he could win it. Yeah. It's just if everything else kind of falls in that way, so the people that actually vote for it would go ahead and pick a wide receiver who quite frankly, deserves it at this point.
Yeah, I think he does. He definitely deserves at least being in the discussion. He was left off the first team All-American midseason, whatever that thing is.
That's crazy.
Which is a mistake. That makes sense. And I do think it requires him – I think he needs to get his touchdowns. I think he may be second when it comes to receiving touchdowns right now. I think there's a few guys at the 8 or 9 touchdown.
Yeah, I think he has six so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he needs to get up to maybe that amount just to satisfy the statistic a piece of it. But we got to start. We might need to do a film breakdown. We got to start showing the gravity that he carries on an offense and how he puts the defense in the bind, because you have to commit two guys to him. If you don't, you're putting yourself at risk, right? Mm-hmm. You have to figure out, okay, if I'm going to send a blitz, how do we take care of this guy who can blow the top off this thing, this defense at any given moment? And then when he does have two guys on him and he still is able to create opportunities for himself and make plays. So the voters got to know. I don't think they do, right? And that level of gravity is the same level of gravity that a great quarterback, I think, carries, where, you know, teams are trying to affect the quarterback. Well, against Ohio State, teams are trying to affect the quarterback as well. But they're also trying to really, really contain Marvin Harrison to make sure that they can stay in the game. And if they don't, they're going to lose.
They're going to lose.
it's really that straightforward. So, yeah, Marvin Harrison for Heisman has got to be the discussion, and I think we got to get it started.
Yeah, we got to start. I mean, it started right here in Believing Bucks. So when he went it, we started this week after we beat Penn State, we got to a 6-0, 7-0. We started this campaign. It's on us to kind of start. And I mean, like, you know, the media picks the Heisman all the time anyway. So we part of the media, man. So it's time to start that campaign, man. But I mean, like I said, so obviously we won that game. We played. I feel across the board we played really well, especially defense. Obviously, the offense did enough to kind of win that game. Was there anything after that game that you had any concerns about? Anything that you had? The offensive line even played pretty solid, right? They stood up pretty tall in that game against a athletic bunch up front of Penn State. Any concerns going into this Wisconsin week?
I think the biggest, I wouldn't say concern, but things to clean up against Penn State. I still don't necessarily like our short yardage run. I think I don't think it's a toughness thing. I don't think it's
no.
These guys aren't tough, tough enough.
Yeah, that's a crazy thing to say about football players.
Well, I think it's still the operation. I think I don't know how things are drawn up, but you see a lot of times we get in a short yard situation. We had a 3rd and 1 on the goal line or whatever, and who guys block? And now people will say, okay, Stover missed the block, guy crossed his face and made the play. That may be the case. He may have been the guy who missed the block. But to me, it just seemed like a hard block to make. And I'm not sure, you know, what's coached, but I think schematically we got to get that figured out. That's one. And the other thing, I think McCord has been a little bit inconsistent. We came off a Purdue game where I thought he did really well in terms of putting the ball where it needs to be. And there were some opportunities. There were a lot of opportunities missed in this Penn State game.
Yeah.
Like, these are like big time opportunities where it really could flip the game in terms of, you know, what the score looked like. So I think those things need to get cleaned up. I think Kyle McCord has shown growth consistently. And I thought he played better in Purdue game than he did against Penn State. Now he played against better talent as well.
Right. Different little bit of different competition
those,
on that one.
Those would be the two biggest things.
That's good. Yeah, I'm not even gonna harp on. I mean, it's a big win, right? I mean, I think we both feel really good about the win. I mean, going into it, you respect Penn State, and that's the reason for his ass. So obviously, as always, gonna be some things to clean up. But overall, we was up for the task. We played well. We won the game. So what they say, celebrate it for 24 hours and get ready for the next one. Because the next one, now on paper, it doesn't seem like the biggest of games, but we go to Wisconsin. We got to play Wisconsin at night with that Camp Randall. You know, they're already known for the huge jump around celebration that they do. We start the fourth quarter, really get their guys fired up. Wisconsin's 5-2. They lost the game to Iowa, which was by many people's states was called it a snoozer. it was a tough game. I mean, close game score wise, but they lost that game, and then they lost the game to Washington State early in the year. But Washington State at the time was rolling. I think they lost the last two or three games in the week here, but I mean, they definitely a explosive bunch and definitely capable of scoring some points. But Wisconsin, I mean, we know the Wisconsin, right? They got one of our coaches up there, Coach Fickell. He's running the show now. He's a former Ohio State great. He was a former Ohio State great player and coach. So, I mean, what are you feeling about this Wisconsin, man? We got to go on the road. It's a big one at night.
Yeah, you know, I mean, losing to Wisconsin, Ohio State losing to Wisconsin doesn't make sense. But you know how it is. It's like things happen in college football that don't make sense. We were a part of that type of situation at Wisconsin, playing Wisconsin. Last time Ohio State lost to Wisconsin. No, number one team.
That was our team last time. Yeah, man. Why you bring that up, man? Come on, man.
I brought it up because sometimes stuff happens that doesn't make sense. I remember going down there, first kickoff, they take back for a touchdown. Before you know it, I can't even explain what happened. Before you know it, it was like 21-0 to start the game. Right? Like Coach Haynes would say, be 21-0 before the balloons leave the stadium. That's what happened. And then, you know, we clawed our way back into the game. And made it a game, and they ended up edging us out at the end. Mm-hmm. But that's the environment, you know. Camp Randall is, I mean, they're gonna be juiced up. Fickell's gonna have them in the right mindset. Ohio State coming off a big time win against a top 10 opponent, and going to go play against a lesser opponent. There's human nature. You may not be in the right mindset, so you become susceptible to potentially not playing to the level and executing to the level that you're capable of. So that's what you hope doesn't happen. You know, and all the respect in the world for the coach over there, Coach Fickell. And, you know, we know what type of coach he is. He hasn't been there long. To me, he hasn't been there long enough for the team to really take on his identity. But if they do, then you know that they'll at least be able to maximize their potential and put out a good effort.
So, I mean, let's talk about Wisconsin. I mean, they are coming off a win. I'm not going to call it a big win because they beat Illinois, and Illinois, to be frank, they're having a down year, right? Yeah. But it was a comeback win. It was a game that they was down in for three quarters. They was down in the fourth quarter. I believe Wisconsin was the better team, but they had to show it, and they had to make that comeback and win. Wisconsin's quarterback is injured. The guy that started the season for them is injured. So now they're playing a transfer, a younger quarterback there in that position. So he has a lot on his shoulders, obviously. But like I say, obviously he was able to lead the team last week and come out with a win. And what bigger way to shock the world and kind of put your stamp on that being your position is to, you know, beat Ohio State team that's coming in, you know, number three in the nation. So, we have to be ready. I mean, hopefully, like you say, human nature was going to come in off a big win. We're playing well. It's a, you know, could be seen as a lesser opponent, but hopefully Coach Day could kind of get into those games that you know, this anything could happen in this game. Realize who we're playing against when you talk about the coach in this one, and let's be locked in and make this game easy. Get a couple scores out. I mean, everybody want to start fast, right? Yeah. But in a game like this, it's really important that you let this team know that, hey, you guys cannot play with us.
Yeah.
Get a couple points on the board. Our defense do what they do, which I think they will. I think they'll kind of go out. Like I said, we got a young starter quarterback over there. I think they'll do that, you know, go out and play well. But offensively, bring it as well. Get some points on the board and let them know, like, you know, the ball – bouncing in your way a play is not going to change the whole tide of the game and put you in it.
Yeah, and that starting fast is important, especially on the road, especially in a place like Camp Randall where there's a lot of energy for the other side. There's a lot of energy. And when you start off down and you start off and you start slow, you feel it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you feel they start playing and jump around. They start hopping around. It feels like you're going in against another army, even though it's just the Wisconsin Badgers. But, I don't think they have the talent to play with Ohio State. I do think, you know, Wisconsin has always been this team that played with two tight end sets, right, played with a fullback. They've kind of thrown that out and began to modernize their offense. They had a guy, I think the quarterback was Mordecai. He was more of a guy who can run around, can run zone read and all that other stuff. This quarterback now, a little bit more of a traditional passing quarterback, it may serve them right or serve them better to actually go a little bit back to their old side. I don't know that they do, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But they have a effective running game. And I think for them to really be successful against Ohio State is being able to run the ball downhill, get something in the run, being able to flip the field, maybe from a position battle standpoint, play good defense. And from there, see if they can pop it from a run game standpoint and then play off of the run game and to be able to do some play action and stuff there. So I think that's the best avenue to victory. And I think for Ohio State, I mean, you get used to playing against all these different spread teams and whatnot. A change up with a kind of a physical team would make it a little bit more challenging, I think. But who knows? They've shifted their style of play offensively, and I don't know if it serves them right, at least in this game.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, but historically, that's what this game was about. It was about the trenches. It was about the O-line and the D-line. You know, Wisconsin was going to have some huge guys up front, like you say, multiple tight ends, a fullback, and try to literally push us back and get 4 or 5 yards. Hold on to the ball, win in time of possession, and win the game in that fashion. And then on the Ohio State side of things, it's up for us to match it. They like to run the ball, but we're going to beat them in rushing the ball today. We got the better athletes. We're going to be able to run the ball against them and then show them what our athletes could do. Yeah. And once again, like you said, I agree. If Wisconsin is to win the game, that's how they should go about it. Like maybe you seen earlier in the season when we was playing teams like Indiana, just really trying to run the ball, hold on to it, go slow on offense, you know, kind of take the air out the ball, slow the game down, and keep Ohio State's offense on the sideline. And, yeah, I think that's a good way for them to go about it. But against our defense, I don't think it's going to work. I think we'll be able to be stout in the run if that's what the way they want to go about it. And in the passing game, I feel like we'll make things very tricky and confusing for that young quarterback. I wouldn't be surprised if this is the game that we kind of take off with the turnovers. I know we haven't been having a ton of turnovers, even though our defense is playing great. But I feel like this is the game at nighttime where we kind of start stepping in front of some of these wide receivers and making some big splashes and turnovers. Wouldn't be surprised to see us do that and you know, really take it to the Badgers and give them something, give Fickell something, and give them some bulletin board for the future. Like, man, they came here and they smashed us. So now, you know, let's get ready, you know, in the future for the next time we see Ohio State. But I think right now it's been like 9 wins in a row against Wisconsin. Like I said, literally last time Ohio State lost to Wisconsin was our senior year up in Cat Randall at night. And I think that streak continues.
Yeah, I agree. And you make a good point about, especially with the new clock rules, slowing the game down and shortening the game. I think shortening the game and playing good defense is the best, you know, the best pathway for Wisconsin to make it close, keep it close. And then at that point, 2 or 3 possessions, if we win the last 2 or 3 possessions, we could potentially win a game. So I'm going to go with my prediction. But I wasn't expecting that point to be made, slowing the game down. my original
– Just give it, man. What's on your heart, man? Just give it to us, man.
I think it's going to be a Ohio State wins 38-10. If Wisconsin can effectively get going in the run game and slow the game down, I still think Ohio State wins, but then it's a little bit closer, more like a 28-10, 21-10, something like that. So
yeah, I had a 27-7. Once again, as we know, we could score points, but I feel like Dave's getting to that point where once we kind of had control of the game, he kind of slows it down offensively, and I'm perfectly fine with that. And so I feel like we get out early, we get some points on the board, second half, we kind of run it out, get a couple more touchdowns, and kind of control it from there. I feel like it's another big week for our defense. We go out there, play well. Let them know, you know, we're feeling really good. We've been playing really well. And I think we just kind of keep that going. So I got a 27-7 Ohio State on a big game Saturday night up at Camp Randall. What they going to do to jump around, man? Yeah. It's still going to be fun in there, man, but it's just not going to be fun on the scoreboard.
I like it.
Yeah. So that's our show. This is Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Browning and Chimdi Chekwa. We like to end all show for the nice OH.
Ayo.
Go Bucks, and we will catch you guys next week.
Go Bucks.